Well, this evening, see if this is on. This evening, we'll continue on with the tabernacle and continue on in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To do a little review, I guess I'm done. If you'd open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 9. Book of Hebrews again, please, and chapter 9. Considering that Old Testament tabernacle, that tent where the presence of God was, there let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, in the midst of them. God in the midst of his people. And we have learned that there was three major sections to the tabernacle of God. There's the outside courtyard, and the big thing there was sacrifice for sin, for cleanliness. And we talked about that. We have begun to go into the holy place called the first tabernacle, room number one of the two-room place, and we're learning that it's for the service of God. We'll see that again in a minute. And then tomorrow night, Lord willing, we should find ourselves in that second room, the holiest of holiest, where there won't be sacrifice per se, it won't be service to God, it will be God speaking, communion with God as Moses did. And these are the things that God is after in his gospel. But again, reading from Hebrews 9 to show you where we're at tonight and looking at verse 2. Hebrews 9 and verse 2. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. So we're in this first section called the holy place that has the table of showbread and the candlestick, the lampstand. Also, the Old Testament will show right next to the veil was this golden altar of incense. And then we go down to verse 6, Hebrews 9. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest always went into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Not the sacrifice of God here, but the service of God. Yes, sacrifice, cleanliness must come first, but then comes consecration. You know, as we said this morning, much more than. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Hebrews 5:9. Well, you get to, rather, Romans 5:9. But you get to Romans 12:1, you know. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So sacrifice comes first, but service comes second, and we're now clean to serve God. And so they would go into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. We are talking not of the service of men per se here, but the service of God. We looked at the one source of light yesterday afternoon, that one lampstand with its seven burning lamps. I saw quite a picture of the Lord Jesus, his word, and his person. And that is the light they will walk in, the one source of light to accomplish the service of God. But we want to move this evening from the south side of that sanctuary, room number one, to the north side, to the table of showbread, and continue with ministry to God. Now, as we kind of set the stage for this, let's go to an Old Testament prophet for a minute. Prophet Ezekiel, chapter 44. The prophet Ezekiel, chapter 44. Ezekiel 44. As we get to Ezekiel 44, Ezekiel is actually prophesying about a day that hasn't happened yet. The kingdom of God on earth, when there will be a millennial temple in Jerusalem, and instructions concerning that millennial temple. But in those instructions, you'll see a principle that always was true. And that's why I'm going to read it, wherever it was. In Jerusalem before, in Jerusalem of the future, the tabernacle, this principle would be true. And so we're going to break in here at Ezekiel 44 and verse 11. And he's speaking about some of the Levites, that their heritage was unfaithful. And while they'll be used in this temple, it won't be full privilege. Anyway, but they'll have a privilege. Looking at Ezekiel 44 and verse 11. It says, yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge of the gates of the house, and ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them. So here we see in verse 11, involved in the house of God is ministry to the house of God, to God's people. In those days, they'd help slay the sacrifices, get them ready. That would be a great ministry, ministering to the house and helping slay the sacrifice for the people, to minister unto them. So here comes one type of ministry in the house of God. It's ministry to the people of God. And that's legitimate. We need build up in the faith. We need encourage. And it's not wrong. I spend much of my life doing this by the grace of God. It is ministering to the house of God. And it's a legitimate ministry. But having said that, he then will move on to another type of ministry, leaving the outside to some degree, and going into room number one here to this table of showbread. This table of bread. In this little room, in American measurements, about 15 feet wide by 30 feet long. And it's that little place on planet Earth where something's going to happen called ministry to God. Never mind the big pyramids, never mind the wars of antiquity. Ministry to God, to the very heart of God. There's ministry to the people, but there's a higher ministry which he'll reward these other priests with, looking at verse 15 of Ezekiel 44. Verse 15. It says, but the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, their heritage was more faithful. It goes on to say in verse 15, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And now we see a second type of ministry. Oh yes, there's ministry for the people, but there's also ministry to me, to the very heart of God himself. Coming into my sanctuary, drawing near to my table, they shall minister to me. So there's a second ministry, and we'll see it in the church also, that isn't about people, it's to the heart of God himself. Two types of ministry. Ministry for the people, but even a higher calling, ministry to God himself. Having said that, as we enter this room number one again, the holy place, and draw near to his table tonight for ministry to him, there's a difference of outside in the court and inside in the sanctuary. I've listed some of the differences here. You got the outer court and the inner court. And blood and water stood between the door and the sanctuary. There had to be cleanliness. Had to be clean to enter in. Outside, the service is public. You could see it. Inside, it's private. The average eye on the outside would never see it. It was private, but it was unto God. Outside, it speaks of the ministry of Christ on earth. Inside, his ministry in the heavenlies, as we see him in heaven and with the, walking among the lampstands, as we did yesterday. His current ministry, the present day ministry of the Lord Jesus in heaven. Outside, it was natural light. Inside, it was that special light, that lampstand. The furniture on the outside was all bronze or brass. Speaking of judgment, things had to be judged, as we learned. But once you go through this door and leave these brass sockets here, everything turns to gold and silver. The furniture is gold, the boards are gold, the sockets are silver. You leave brass behind. And so gold speaks of divine glory. And so it's not now the judgment that Christ accomplished. It's his divine glory that he's associated with now. Outside, the pieces of furniture had no crown. Nothing mentioned of a crown around the brazen altar, nor the laver. But you get here, the altar of incense, there's going to be a crown, a gold crown. Table of showbread, a gold crown. The mercy seat, a gold crown. And that will take us to the, not the humiliation of our Lord Jesus, where he died on a cross in weakness and people spit at him. It takes you to the exaltation of the Lord Jesus, who has gone into heaven itself, and is on the right hand of God, angels, powers, and authorities being made subject unto him. 1 Peter 3:22. The exaltation of our Lord is present day ministry. Outside it's for the sinner. Inside it's for the saint. Outside the big thing was confession. The confession of sin. Well, inside that's not it. It's communion. Outside forgiveness. It shall be forgiven him. Well, see, inside it's fellowship. Outside acceptance with God, inside appreciation of God, I come to know God deeper. You know, outside he died to save us, inside he's living to uphold us. The suffering Savior and the sustaining mediator. You know, as they say in the Olympics, go for the gold, huh? Yes, he does save us. And we need to be grounded in that. It's a wonderful ministry to establish God's people in the gospel. But we got to go deeper and go for the golden furniture, the exaltation of Christ, his divine glory, what he's associated with now, and go deeper with him, accomplishing the service of God. Ministry to me. And as we read, they draw near to my table to minister unto me. So what is the ministry to God? They're walking in the light of that candlestick, as we saw, the one source of light, so they can see to draw near to my table to minister unto me. Well, you might think it's something big like changing the world or seeing everybody saved. But what does God consider ministry to me? Well, again, we find ourselves in this first tabernacle before the veil. Again, the south side, the candlestick, the north side, the table of showbread, where they drew near to my table to minister to me. So let's do that. Let's see what God considers that touches his heart, that doesn't really have to do directly with man, but with the heart of God. So let's go back to a chapter we were in yesterday, Leviticus chapter 24, and see the priestly ministry unto God. Book of Leviticus and chapter 24. Now, what we're going to focus on here is this table of showbread, or bread of presence. Ezekiel 25 teaches there were also not only 12 loaves of bread on it, there's that crown around it we talked about. There was a pitcher and cups. And those pitchers and cups, according to Numbers 28:7, held strong wine. And they were poured out in the holy place as a drink offering to God. And it's the only place you could do it, was in the holy place. So there's a table in here that has two things on it, bread and what the Bible calls strong wine. Bread and wine are on this table. Now, with that in mind, looking at Leviticus chapter 24, and we'll put another picture up there for you of it, and going to verse 5. Leviticus 24 and verse 5. And thou shalt take fine flour, and bake 12 cakes thereof, 2 tenths deals shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. Once again, we have details. 12 loaves. Of course, there were 12 tribes of Israel. So this bread, we'll give a simple picture of it now. This table of showbread with its crown. 2 rows, whether they went up like this or across, Moses knows. But there were 12 loaves of bread. Now, if you look further here, look at verse 7. Verse 7. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So the bread will function as a memorial. And again, as Exodus 25 and Numbers 28:7 teaches, there would be strong wine in those cups there also. Bread and wine, and the bread functioning as a memorial. Then look at verse 8, Leviticus 24 and verse 8. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. So that every Saturday, what is called the Sabbath, the priest would go in there and exchange those loaves that have been sitting there for 6 days, exchange them with new loaves or fresh loaves. And then this is what would happen to the old loaves. Look at verse 9, once they're taken off the table. Verse 9, once they're replaced. And it shall be Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place. For it is most holy unto him of the offering of the Lord made by fire by a perpetual statute. On the seventh day, then those loaves that were sitting there before the Lord, the priests were allowed to feed on them. But for 6 days, you know what those loaves did? Well, as far as man was concerned, they did nothing. They didn't feed the homeless. They didn't help the Israelis that were out in their tents. They didn't even feed the priest for 6 days. You say, well, again, what a waste. What are they doing there if nobody's benefiting from them? Well, look at the language carefully again. Look at verse 6. Leviticus 24. And thou shalt set them in two rows, six on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And we'll just show you another picture and facsimile of such. There's the bread and the different type of rows, the strong wine and the pitchers and so on. And there they are, six upon a row and so on. But notice the pure table in verse 6, before the Lord. Then look at the end of verse 7. An offering made by fire unto the Lord. A look at verse 8. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord. And once again, as other things in this holy place, it's for God. It's not for man, first of all. It's for, and God would feed on them as a memorial. Whatever they would represent to the heart of God, you don't really have to guess, because the Lord Jesus announced in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And so there another portrait of something that gives life, the Lord Jesus. And dear to the heart of God, they serve no purpose of man for 6 days. They're before the Lord. This is called ministering to me. Putting those loaves there so God can take in this memorial of his beloved son for his people. You know, the 12 tribes. Well, then let's go to verse 9. What happened on the Sabbath? And it shall be Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy of him, of an offering of the Lord made by fire by a perpetual statute. On the seventh day, as they were replaced, Aaron and his sons could eat them. Now, what we have here is man and God eating the same food near God's table. On the seventh day, what God enjoyed for 6 days, man is now feeding on God's food. They're eating together in the presence of that table. You know, we get invited out to dinner. You know, you go to people's houses for dinner. And you do more than eat, don't you? What do you do when you sit down to eat? Well, it turns out to be fellowship, doesn't it? And you fellowship over that food. You take a young man who's interested in a certain young woman, and he invites her out for dinner. Is all he's interested in is filling her stomach? Well, if that's the case, he can buy her McDonald's coupons and mail them to her, and he'll say, bon appetit. You know? But he wants to get to know her, because fellowship happens over food. This is a very common thing, to take somebody out for dinner like that. It's a place of fellowship. And we have God and man eating the same food. And not talking about sports or anything like that, but the bread that was a memorial unto God, man is feeding on. And so man is now in fellowship with God. Did not the Lord Jesus write to his churches and say to the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3:20, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. He wants to feed and have intimate fellowship with us on the same thing. And so we see this ministry to God is simply appreciating what God has appreciated and feeding and eating at the same table with God. Now, in the Old Testament, only did you notice in verse 9 again, Leviticus 24, and it shall be Aaron and his sons. That's a male priesthood. If you were a woman back then, you would never get beyond the steps here. You'd never, this is the temple here, but you'd never get into the sanctuary. You'd have to hand over the offering to the priest himself. And if you weren't a Jewish priest of the tribe of Levi, of the family of Kohath, you couldn't eat it. You could be of Dan, of Judah, the kingly tribe. You'd never taste that bread. And never mind if you're a Gentile like me or most of you, you'd never get near it. It was only for Aaron and his sons, a male priesthood. In fact, go back a little bit to Leviticus chapter 6. You'll see this brought out in clear language here. Leviticus chapter 6. And look at verse 17. Leviticus 6 and verse 17. 6:17. It shall not be bacon, it says, with leaven. I have given unto them for their portions of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy, as is the sin offering and the trespass offering. My offerings, God shares his food, and he wants to share his food with us. Look at verse 18. All the males from among the children of Aaron shall eat of it, It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offering of the Lord made by fire. Every one that toucheth him shall be holy. All the males on another type of eating there. And so, when we come to the New Testament church, you know, I hear today that New Testament assembly is restrictive. It is against women. It is the most liberating thing out there that God approves of. It has liberated many men, the Gentiles like me, and women. When it comes to the Lord's Supper, as we will see, and the Lord's table, he writes to the church of God at Corinth and says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, as often as ye, you all, you can relate to that, you know, from the South, you all, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's till he come. It's not a distinction at the Lord's table. A woman is a priest of God too. We learn in 1 Peter 2:5 that we're a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ has cleansed us, has consecrated us, has made every believer a priest. And dear sister, when you can take that bread and drink that cup, you're expressing the liberty, something unknown in Judaism, that you can draw near to God's table and feed in your heart on him. And I can too. And enjoy and minister to the very heart of God and offer up spiritual sacrifices and praise and adoration of God. It's not limited just to a few males now. All believers can offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. This is the liberty of the New Testament. You don't appreciate that unless you understand the Old Testament. You couldn't touch it. That's as far as a woman could go. But now, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you just show the Lord's death till he come. Well, we've talked a little bit about the parable. We've been saying these things are a figure or a parable, Hebrews 9:9. We've looked at it a little bit. But now I want to get to the reality in the church of God concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's go to the New Testament now, the reality of God's house today, which is the church. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I do remind you as we go to 1 Corinthians 10, that 1 Timothy 3:15 says, the house of God, which is the church of the living God. We don't have to guess at what it is, okay? And so now we come to teaching to the church of God. And there'll be some teaching concerning the Lord's table and fellowship and so on. Here's the reality now. And looking at verse 16. Now remember what we saw in the picture. I'll go back to it for a second. We saw that one day a week, the priest would come into the presence of God and draw near to my table where there was wine and bread, and they would eat of that bread as they replaced the old with the new loaves. And they would show fellowship with God, and it happened one day a week. Okay. Now we get to the New Testament here, and we find ourselves in verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. And he's teaching actually the error of idolatry and how we should be only fellowshipping with God and not with idol temples, because God is a jealous God. And in that context, we get some great truth. Looking at verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 10. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And some of you, for that word communion, will have fellowship. For that's the Greek word, koinonia, translated most of the time, fellowship. The cup which we bless, the fellowship of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break, the fellowship of the body of Christ, that we eat and partake of what God has enjoyed. This is my beloved Son. God raised him from the dead. And God is taken up with his Son, the Lord Jesus, and to see believers who now love his Son, the Lord Jesus, and they feed on Christ, touches the heart of God. Look what he goes on to say in verse 17. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17. For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. In the sense that, like we did this morning, we partake of that, we're showing our unity. We're of the same body. We agree over the same thing, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. His blood cleanses us. And we're showing that common agreement. We're fellowshipping what God has pleased God. And we're showing our unity in that. It's the expression of fellowship. Sometimes people will say, well, I'm not in fellowship there, but I break bread. You're fellowshipping if you break bread. You're fellowshipping if you drink the cup. You're partakers of that one body. It goes on to say here in, as one body. Look at verse 17 again. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. If the loaf wasn't very big and at the end of the meeting, everybody took a piece of bread and the plate was empty. I said, where's that bread? You said, what's in there? And her and him. The bread's in us. We're showing that unity that we're one body and we fellowship. Our fellowship is not that we agree on this or the 10 horns of Revelation, though it's nice to come to a unity of truth, but that we agree on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the expression of it, of who he is and what he's done. And so he goes on to say here in his context here, look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils or demons. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. They go to an apostate church one day, as we'd say today. They went to idol temples one day, show up at the Lord's Supper. The next, it's like a man dating two girls at once or having two wives. You have both. He says, you can't have both. The minute you eat of something connected with religion, you're showing fellowship. He said, remember Israel when they ate of those sacrifices? They were showing Israel, fellowship with God. The pagan, when he eats of those idol meats, he's showing fellowship with his false gods. So he's trying to tell the Corinthians that by partaking, by eating of something, it's an expression of fellowship. And if you're expressing your fellowship with the Lord Jesus, what are you doing at the idol temple the next day? And look what he goes on to say in verse 22. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? So God wants that single-hearted devotedness. And the Lord's table, it's where we partake. It's where we show fellowship over the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so we have in the New Testament, we have something that's, well, go to 1 Corinthians 11. It's a memorial, isn't it? Look at 1 Corinthians 11. It's the Lord's Supper here, technically. You know this well. For example, look at verse 24. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The focus is the remembrance of me. The broken body, the shed blood. You ever go to a memorial service? Yeah. A loved one has died. And sometimes they allow you to stand up and say things in memory of that loved one and the attributes you saw. You know, it would be kind of weird at a memorial service for somebody to stand up and say, I lost my job last Thursday. Would you pray for me? There's a time to say that, but not in honor of that person. You see, the focus of the Lord's Supper is in remembrance of me. You're showing fellowship with him. And notice again verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. I like the language of the New Testament. We are to do it. This do in remembrance of me. But you know, even though God wants it done often, and he gives us an example, what the early disciples did in Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. And so the early church eventually did it upon the first day of the week, one day a week, bread and wine. And they came to show fellowship with God, to minister to the heart of God in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. But it's expressed a little different than the Old Testament. The Old Testament said on the Sabbath they'd come in, and it was more of a legislated rule, where here it's a request of his heart, as often as you do it. He wants it done often. But how do you legislate love? How do you legislate worship? You know, how do you get, can you force a heart? Well, it's not, really doesn't come from the heart. Let me just use an everyday example. I could tell my wife, you say, well, I'm the head here, according to God, and I want you to kiss me 8 times a day. You have to do it. I'm the head. Well, about the second or third kiss, you know, I'm going to say, is she just doing it because I made her, or does she really care? You know, but if I leave it open, I'm all open to 8 kisses a day. but now you know it's voluntarily, okay? You now know it's voluntary. And this is what God is after. He's given the example. He's given his heart of what he wants. But he just doesn't say, you must on the first day. He shows they did it on the first day. And it's often. as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you just show the Lord's death till he come. And so, in the reality, we've looked a little bit at the table of showbread. It's inside. It's out of the eyes of the world. It's drawing near to God and ministering unto me. Pouring out your heart, silently in some cases, orally in other cases. In remembrance of the Lord Jesus, by him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, Hebrews 13:15. It's not a waste of time, it's before the Lord. I know there's big issues in the world. I know there's hurting and homeless and wars and unsaved. But there's a drawing near to God is the highest ministry. It's not the only ministry. But it is the highest ministry, the privileged ministry of believers in a world that's unthankful and doesn't glorify him to minister unto me. So may God encourage you in this very simple picture that takes us to the Lord's Supper and the Lord's table and is ministering to God today in remembrance of your Lord and Savior and mine, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give you good understanding. Tomorrow night, Lord willing, we have one more piece of furniture in the holy place, the altar of incense, still ministry to God, and then we want to go through that veil into the holiest and see the most radical truth in the New Testament of what we can do now. And what that means. Can we go even deeper than ministering to the heart of God? Yes, I'm saved. Yes, the sacrifice for my sins. I'm clean. That's wonderful. I can serve God. I can minister to his heart. That's going deep. Can you get closer? You can. That's tomorrow night. May God give you good understanding. And let's just ask God's blessing in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we just close this part in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, not only has saved us, but you desire to fellowship with us. We read in thy scriptures, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so, Father, may we value this time with thee, drawing near to thee. Not to say it's the only way to minister to thee, but it's a major way to draw near to your table. And so we just ask thy blessing on the saints here to encourage them in things the world looks down on. And to help him just to keep going on, to give him enthusiasm, and may it not get ordinary, to see what it means to thy heart, ministry to me. And we just thank thee for the pictures, but more so for the reality, a remembrance of the Lord who gave his body and shed his blood, and our Lord and Savior. We ask thy blessing on thy word as Brother Rob continues to bring it, for thy glory, for the edification of the dear saints here tonight. We just commit it in thy name and hand, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.